This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining us in the studio is Mayor LaToya Cantrell as she begins and puts together her administration. And now this is week three?
Week three. Day 17.
Who's counting, right?
Every day.
Day 17, and you know, the new administration, and we really want to thank you. And we've been working with you guys, you're agreeing to come on and spend an hour with us today, and hopefully we'll be doing this in the future as well to talk about the trials, the tribulations, the challenges that we face here at the city, the place that we call home, and that, you know, we all want to make a difference and try and make it better. You've been tested already by Mother Nature. I said that in last hour leading up, and we're about to all get tested together yet again.
Absolutely, and I think you said the magic word, in my opinion, all get tested together. We truly are in this, you know, together. And thinking regionally, reaching out, you know, President Yeni of Jefferson Parish has reached out. I have a call with the governor after this, looking and working with the National Guard. We're all in this thing together, and it's very important that we're working together.
Well, there's an upside and a downside. The downside is you never know what the risk is, but the upside is your new administration and the folks that are going to handle this in emergency preparedness and Homeland Security, they're going to be tested.
Absolutely.
You know, so they're going to get to see early on what this is all about as we ramp up. And we're not even in the hurricane season yet. And, you know, you kind of think about that, and it's kind of funny. I did want to ask you, you know, as close as you were, and you've been involved in city government, There are always surprises when you come in. You know, and I spent a number of years working for Harry Lee, but when I sat in that chair, it occurred to me that the perspective and the view was vastly different, even though I just walked 30 steps down the hall. What was your experience?
Well, you know, really having a clear vision or being able to see the bottlenecks or the backlogs, and for example, millions, actually into the billions of unspent money as it relates to hazard mitigation. And when we talk about the risks that we have, you know, with flood water and being tested that first couple of weeks, you're like, why aren't these things moving? Why can't we get them done faster? And so I had to initiate projects week one, week two, to get them out of the door simply because they were in a bottleneck, stuck. And also taking those deeper dives to get rid of the red tape, you know, going through the environmental processes or the historic processes for some of these projects, taking up to not when we need to spend this money. And so looking at it, but not trying to look back, only to look forward. What can we do in our administration to get results?
Yeah, because every day that it's not done is an opportunity lost, right?
That's right.
And if you look at it from that perspective, you recognize that we're not reaping the benefits of these dollars. We're not reaping the benefits of the improvements. And therefore, there are downstream implications that typically aren't positive.
That's right. That's right. And so, you know, that's the real opportunity in all of this. My one of my city attorneys said, you know what, I'm calling them now piles of manure. I said, well, you know, the good thing is manure is a good fertilizer. So we're looking at it as opportunities, man.
So, you know, when you're going through that process, I mean, have y'all set up like assessment teams and stuff and a task force to go after that? Because when you start to think about billions of dollars and I don't know how many number of projects that actually represents, I'm sure it's well over the hundreds. That's quite a task.
It is, but you know what? Just last Friday, sitting down, you know, with FEMA, with GOSEP, with you know, state, local, all of us around a table, about 35 of us actually, going project through project, and me asking for help, asking FEMA, saying, "Listen, I need several bodies in-house, in city government, helping us get through this process so we do not lose these dollars." And what I found, which I'm very excited about, is just the willingness to give New Orleans what it takes, give my administration a chance and an opportunity to get these projects done. Because if we don't spend the money, we will lose it. We will not lose those dollars. That's something that I'm adamant about.
And that's critical to make sure that we don't lose it, because in many respects, that's a free opportunity to improve upon ourselves by spending those dollars day in and day out and making sure we get the projects done.
Well, not only that, you know, we are vulnerable, right, to disasters, future disasters. And so we don't want to have an experience to where the federal government looks at us and says, "Hey, you know what? You didn't even use the money that was allocated previously," and then blame us for the existing conditions that we're in. You can say, "Hey, you know, maybe they have a right to do that." But right now, I'm telling you, pushing out about $27 million just this week on two key drainage projects in Pontilli for stormwater. And this is Gentilly area, as well as Mid-City with the Hagen-Lafitte drainage project. These have been sitting. We got to get them done. And so we're moving on them right now.
And those are two areas that historically have had issues.
Absolutely. And even last Friday.
Is that one of those duh moments? Duh. I mean, you know.
Well, you know, we have to get this done, and we have to continue to build trust, you know, amongst our citizenry, and that's a priority.
So, you know, the surprise is there. How about Sewage and Water Board? I mean, you were involved, obviously, with being on the council. Y'all started to get information. You know, everybody's been getting information. We've probably been on information overload. Any surprises as it relates to that process, looking at it from a different perspective?
Well, I mean, it's not one issue. It's multiple, not even three. It's multiple, layer after layer after layer. And what has become very clear, it's not a technical issue that we have. It's more of an operational and a management issue. Upper and middle management almost non-existent. So it is a priority for me to get leadership in there, working with the board, the Sewage and Water Board, which I had my first meeting May 16th. I put in place an ad hoc selection committee so that we can appoint an acting director, in which I did yesterday. And move through the process of selecting the executive director, which we believe will be there right around July, possibly August.
Good. I mean, and as you deal with those issues, I mean, between now and then, of course, we have the hurricane season, which is always a concern. Same approach, kind of project teams trying to identify what we can get, you know, resolved, and there's a lot of that same FEMA money that's directed that way as well, correct?
That's exactly right. And those projects, again, making sure that they're moving. We are in a better place than we've been since 2007, to be honest with you, with the Sewage and Water Board. Still right around 115 pumps working out of 120. The water towers, that those projects coming online, which are important.
So I saw one is about to open.
Yes.
And then the second one will be about a year later?
About a year later. But that first one opening is going to be huge for the city of New Orleans. And our greatest risk, though, around this has been the power. So working internally with generators, but also really working towards a greater partnership with Entergy. If we lose power, I mean, and by law, you know, if it's a down, we have to go into boil water advisories. But I do believe that we're going to be in a much greater place with the water tower.
No, absolutely. It kind of struck me when I heard that y'all didn't have one.
I know. And you travel all around.
I mean, I've been hunting in the backwoods of Mississippi, walking through the woods, you know, looking for deer and run across a right-of-way that had a water tower.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And it just always kind of struck me odd, you know, that wasn't the case. And for the benefit of the listening audience, that provides, instead of having a primer pump to keep the pressure in the lines,
yes.
gravity
yes.
keeps the pressure in the line by having the water pumped up into the tower, and then it primes the water system throughout the city.
Yes, yes. And it's vital.
Yeah, I mean, it's a key ingredient. Mayor LaToya Cantrell, third week of her administration, still getting her feet wet and hopefully not going to get it wet again this weekend.
I have my raincoat on right now.
You got to laugh to keep from crying, baby.
True.
That's all I can tell you. But anyway, so you decided to keep Chief Michael Harrison. And I have a lot of respect for Chief Michael Harrison. So, you know, for what it's worth, I think he's a good man for the position. But, you know, now, I mean, you worked with him, obviously, on the council, but now he reports directly to you.
Correct.
So what did you tell him? What did you tell him what your expectation was of him and what the mission is?
Absolutely. Well, one is, you know, although I like stats and all that, look, I'm not looking for, you know, where we gauge and just, oh, where we were today versus last year to say crime is down. Later for that. I want to know, specifics, as much detail as possible to help with community policing, to direct other city departments that could improve conditions in a particular area where crime or violence is occurring. Wanting a better working relationship and just trying to build trust, one, amongst ourselves as well as, you know, with the force in general. So really getting away from just looking at stats and telling me what's down or up, but hitting the ground and wanting to get some results done, you know, really wanting to focus very heavily on results.
One of the criticisms of your predecessor was that he was a micromanager and he was maybe sometimes too hands-on, although every time I challenged him with that or others challenged mm-hmm. him with that, it was he denied it, but you saw it reveal itself in so many different ways. Is your style relative to the chief going to be, he knows what he's got to do, I give him the overall mission and vision of what I want to see accomplished, and he's going to go do it?
Yeah, he's got to go do it, or we have to look for new leadership. But I do not want to hang that over his head. I want him to have the autonomy to do the job. I know we had an incident come up. He had a press conference. Said, "Chief, I don't need to. You're the chief. they need to see you, you know." And absolutely, he was there, boots on the ground, and making sure that he was being able to communicate directly with the public and not me standing over his shoulder.
You know, it occurred to me while I was sheriff in the adjacent parish, we were on many scenes together, the mayor and myself, and in a couple of these scenes, nothing happened till the mayor got there. And I kept asking people, what are we waiting on? Why aren't we doing anything? Oh, we're waiting on the mayor. Well, what does the mayor have to contribute to this? This is a law enforcement investigation.
That's right.
Please tell me that's not the type of mayor that you're going to be, that they're going to be waiting around for you to show up at the scene before they do anything.
Oh, absolutely not. But I will step on a scene. To show a presence, but it's not about me. You know, it's about protecting and serving and those who are in law enforcement to do their job. And I feel very confident, I do, in their ability to perform. And I want to set that tone, and I believe that I have from day one, and we will hold one another accountable, and we will look at results, tangible outcomes in communities, and to see if we're there or not.
You know, when you think about the challenges that we have and the level of gun violence, and I had the DA on the other day, we were talking about juvenile crime as an uptick, and that's obviously a challenge. JP had an officer shot about a month ago by a 16-year-old. We've had some very violent crimes across the country that have been recently reported, committed by 14, 15, and 16-year-olds with weapons in their hands. Series of armed robberies around the state. FBI just made some arrests, and you officers made some arrests
yes.
as well. And, you know, it's something that is going to take a very intrusive, aggressive policing to deal with some of these issues day in and day out.
Not only that, but from a city's perspective, we have to be hands-on with the Youth Study Center where our juveniles go. And one of the things that I take very seriously, that Youth Study Center, you know who's in charge? The mayor. So I can't be hands off with that. I have to be
in there. No. I didn't mean it totally that way, but all the whole wheel stops until the mayor shows up on the scene. I mean, these folks are trained to do what they got to do.
Absolutely. You know? But I'm in that Youth Study Center. I mean, it is a priority for this administration because we have to get our hands around this juvenile crime.
We're hearing the thunder and the lightning going on outside. She's looking at me and I'm looking at her. Okay, let's rock and roll. But anyway, there was a little hiccup, or however you want to refer to it, as it relates to the Office of Homeland Security and Public Safety, and we don't need to talk about that. Just thinking forward, is that a position that you still have a desire and an appetite to fill? And are you going back out to do a nationwide search or whatever type of search in order to fill that position?
Oh, absolutely. It's a key position, and I definitely want to fill it in terms of Homeland Security and Public Safety. We have a Director of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness.
Right.
So that's in place. But I do want this to be filled. I think that it will give us much more attention on the areas of really being innovative to false multipliers in fighting crime, as well as preparing for other disasters. I mean, mass shootings, these cyber attacks, suicide bombers. I mean, we are at a state where we have to be prepared for many different disasters or trauma. And I think it's very important.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those positions that has kind of changed because of the complexities of what we're doing. When you think about after 9/11 and you think about in this area, emergency preparedness.
Yes.
And the fact that emergency preparedness, a lot of folks don't realize the boots on the ground actually belong to other agencies.
Yes.
Your Department of Public Works, your New Orleans Police Department, EMS, New Orleans Fire Department. So it really begs of somebody being at the top of that pinnacle, you know, looking down at all of those agencies.
Absolutely. And the coordination is key, as you know. And also, I want to maximize the latest technology that we do have, like the real-time crime center. I mean, it's huge. It's about a year old. But where we can go with that, I mean, is endless. So having someone in place focusing on that, letting my chief of police be the chief of police, focusing on fighting crime, but looking also at innovative ways that we can do a better job across the board.
Mayor, over the past several weeks, a lot of folks have called in every time we talked about crime. What is the situation with the Louisiana State Police? Are they here? Are they gone? Are they staying? What's the story there?
Well, the Louisiana State Police, as you know, have been great partners with the city of New Orleans. There is a renewed commitment to the city of New Orleans, again, under the Cantrell administration. The support of our governor is key, and it is unwavering, which is important. There have been conversations and commitments relative to the summer months, wanting to have our tactical teams in place, much like we did last year. And we saw where we had issues with armed robberies and burglaries, how working closely with the state police, we were able to kind of minimize and mitigate those matters. So the works are happening right now, and the partnership is definitely alive.
When we there was an article in the paper the other day that kind of struck me as odd, and I wasn't sure what's going to ultimately happen dealing with the previous administration as it relates to the distribution of taxes, property taxes mm-hmm. that were collected in that the downtown development district, I think, has actually sued the city now, which whenever a tax recipient agency sues you, that's not a good thing. You're supposed to be working in collaboration with one another. And then it's been revealed that possibly the school system, flood protection district, drainage district, public safety, and neighborhood improvement districts also may have been slighted money on property tax distribution. Is that something you've been able to get your hands around yet?
Well, man, listen, it was one of the things coming through the door, you know, that I had to...
going back to that pile we were talking
absolutely
about.
Absolutely, to address, yeah, and one that the city attorney has been working very aggressively on. Of course, it's under litigation, you know, we're moving through that. And what it means to me are resources or expenses that were not included in the budget for 2018. So these are some unforeseen costs, and we'll have to deal with them accordingly. But it's something that we're working on very diligently.
You know, and while we're on the tax collection issue, I mean, obviously that is the revenue side of this, of everything, right?
Absolutely.
And I mean, so payment of services doesn't happen unless you collect the taxes that are due. Have you considered doing an operational audit of the tax collection programs that y'all have in place in the city?
Oh, absolutely. There are a couple of things. One is making sure that the ERP system that has been, well, not fully implemented, but it has started, which will help streamline and build in efficiencies as it relates to tax collections. Also, looking at strengthening the auditors that we have in-house, and as well as possibly bringing from outside, you know, some outside consulting on this so that we can get our hands around it and get the revenues that we know are sitting out there through the door. And this is a priority that has come from the finance department as well. You know, these positions pay for themselves. But what we found, we haven't been auditing enough. The message throughout the city previously was that, hey, you can get away with it. So we're wanting to turn that around to where, not in the city of New Orleans. You have to be above board and do what's right. If you're making money, we want to make sure that the city is collecting what is due to her. So this is a priority. Again, it will pay for itself. So looking at beefing up this finance department and revenue is key. Also, looking at one of the things we inherited, this franchise agreements, what we found coming through the door is that we were not collecting fees.
So when you talk about that for the listening audience, Cox and, you know, some of the other franchise agreements,
absolutely,
where they're using city property.
City
right-of-ways, city services, that there are monies due to you.
There are monies due to us, and we found that we have not been collecting those dollars. I instructed the law department, as well as kind of breathing life back into a utilities department, because no one was even managing it. So this is something that we can easily do, low-hanging fruit. We got our first check for $500,000 just going after one that owes us up to $7 million. So a good faith payment of $500,000, I'm like, okay, that's good, but it's not good enough.
It's not $7 million.
Thank you. We need all of our money. So we're going to be very aggressive.
But if it comes in $500,000 checks, that's not bad either. So
we'll take it, but we're going to continue to be aggressive as it relates to what's due.
But that, you know, we've talked about a number of issues. Do you get the sense, I know you know about the organization, the operational culture. Do you get the sense after 3 weeks that it might have been a little worse than what you initially thought?
You know, I do, but what I'm sensing is that trying to get people to understand that I don't work in a situation, like, I'm not I gotcha.
Well, yeah,
you know, I'm not after
it
you.
It doesn't have to be adversarial.
It doesn't have to be adversarial. So kind of setting that tone that, all I want to do is to get things done. I want you to tell me straight. If there's an issue, give it to me straight. That's all. That's how we want it, so that we can come up with real solutions.
We got to take a break, but I will tell you, someone asked me on the air the other day about what you had to say about the drainage when we had the rain event. I said, you know, if nothing else, she told the story straight. It is what it is, and it ain't going to change until we get our it together,
right,
to turn it around.
That's exactly right. And I want to be honest with people. In order for citizens to respond the way that we need them to, they have to be given the information straight.
Absolutely. I can deal with the truth.
I can too. And the citizens too.
Absolutely. Concerns on a special session, Mayor. I mean, I know that the city's got a lot at stake. Obviously, the state does.
Right.
And, you know, no city or municipality can succeed unless the state's succeeding. So what are your concerns?
That's exactly right. Well, definitely around the hospital and critical service, particularly for our elderly and disabled citizens. You know, we had that investment of a $1.2 billion hospital, UMC campus. It's the only level one trauma center in the Gulf Coast and licensed burn center. And I'm very concerned about the resources not getting where they need to be. Also, you know, you have 2,500 folks employed, 640 physicians as well. So it's a big concern. You know, it really is. It makes me think about with this infighting kind of going on at the state level. It reminds me of when I was at Washington Mardi Gras, you know, in D.C. in January. And I came back, man, so fired up. Man, we have some great people in our state, good assets, natural resources. There's no way that we should be in the situation that we're in and even at the bottom. So I'm just urging our folks to really work together, pull together, to get our people what they need. No one wins when we're fighting.
Yeah. You know, I've often said we beat up on ourselves pretty good. We need to become our best cheerleaders as
well.
Because that breeds a culture of success.
Absolutely.
You know, in many respects. And I know people look at it very cynical, but it really does. I mean, it's the way that you manage organizations. Your forward-leaning organizations develop a culture about creating successes within that organization.
Absolutely. And then it transfers over to the people who we serve.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, and that's where the rubber meets the road.
Final thoughts?
You know, thank you so much. I really want to come back on a regular basis, not only to chat with you, but really the listening audience.
Yeah, we didn't take calls this time, but we would love to do that in the future.
Yeah,
hear what
they're
saying. We had a lot of issues to cover. That's on me, not on you. But, you know, I just wanted to get through it in the third week. And we wish you the best of luck. And hopefully we come through this weekend unscathed.
I'm telling you. Well, let me say thank you again. And really, the way is in our front. I think we have great opportunities. We're looking at these manure piles as fertilizer, and we're going to have a lot of things growing in the city of New Orleans.
All righty. That's Mayor LaToya Cantrell. 3 weeks in, Mother Nature is going to test her again this weekend, and we'll see where this all leads. Thanks so much for coming in. We truly appreciate it.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.